Pellicetti or something. And he said, you want to come back and meet him? And I said, well, I don't want to interrupt it. You know, I'm not always that bold, even though I'm a Leo and all of that jazz. So he said, come on back. I'll introduce you. And the girl didn't want to go. I can't remember who the date was now, but she didn't want to go. She said, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't know Elvis. And I said, well, I don't know if I want it either. He said, come on. He pulls me back. So I got back to the table. Now, I had to tell you the whole lead up so you don't think this is a... I got to the table, and he made an announcement. Everybody, now, Elvis was with a lady. I know that was sitting on the other side. On a scale of 1 to 10, she was probably 13. I mean, that'll give you an idea how... I don't know who it was. It wasn't... what's his name? His wife. It was later on.
Priscilla.
Yeah, maybe... it wasn't Priscilla, but it may have been Ginger or somebody. But she was a pretty good-looking lady. I knew that. And he said, this is Tom Shannon, and he does a television show, but he's also a disc jockey, and he plays on the radio, and he's played all your music, Elvis, and I just want him to say hello. I just want you to say hello, or he wants to say hello. And he stood up. He just got up a little bit, leaned over, and said, how do you do, sir? Shook my hand. I reached across the table. Some guy over here, I probably spilled his soup, and I reached over, and I said, pleasure to meet you. I said, I love your music. I could actually talk, and I'm surprised everything came out because it was so... So I got all done with that. And I said, you know, I don't want to interrupt anybody. And I think Red was there, all those guys. Yeah. So there was Mafia group, his crew. Yeah. And they all, but he was very, very polite and very nice. He called me sir. I thought probably in deference to the age, although Elvis would have been, older than I am today, certainly. Yeah. Anyway, so make the long story short, I left and went back, and the girl said,
well, how was it?
And I said, send in the clowns. And that's really where it went. But that's the time I met him. Yeah, that's the Elvis Presley story. But so now, Tony, if there's more, you got to wait a minute because I have to refresh, get another gin. Oh, no, that's citrus and lemon. I'll be back. Buffalo's
greatest hits. Playing the songs that take you up and make you feel good. This is 104.1. WHTT.
We can only hope for that. A bright, sunshiny day. Buffalo's greatest hits, 104.1 WHTT. Hey, we're paying you cash just for listening at work. You can join the Fun at Work Club online at WHTT.com. To win, good luck to all.
Tommy, it's Sue Nichols. I just wanted to wish you well. You've been a great voice on the radio for so many years. My mom listened to you. She always thought that you were one of the best jocks on the radio, and we're going to really miss you. Take care. Keep in touch.
No matter what. Well, occasionally there are some differences. Bad finger, no matter what. It is Buffalo's Greatest Hits, 104.1 WHTT with Anthony Violante. I'm giving you the full...
I love the way you say my name, Tom.
Do you really?
It's just...
What's a very mellifluous name? Violante. Does that mean anything?
Let me get my dictionary, mellifluous. I'm supposed to be the writer, too.
That's right. I read that in one of your columns, something... mellifluous. It just rolls off easily. It's easy to say...
You know who used to say my name, in addition to you, was John Otto.
Oh, John. Well, John could say hello, and it would say, Thomas Didymus.
In fact, we were talking, Goodman. Tom, and you were telling me... GR did a quick switch to rock, and John had to do rock. And
yeah, that was one of my mistakes in life. I mean, I made a few of them, but I left KB to go to GR.
But I just can't picture John Otto saying, and now the Rolling Stones, get no satisfaction.
Well, it was John Otto, and it was, I'm trying to remember some of these guys, rest their soul, John included. Cy Buckley, yeah. Phil Soisson, who is still with us. And of course, Bill Mazur, who is in New York doing that. But these guys were the sports guys. But John Otto and Cy Buckley, and there was some, I think John Gill, although he stayed in news. But there were a lot of guys who, when you make a transition like that, the company says, here's what we got. Now, here's what we want you to do. And John Otto could do everything, but I swear he couldn't do that. I mean, John was a wonderful man. We've got the tripartite sounds of the... you know, and he would, but he could say names. He could make roll right out. He was such an erudite man. And, of course, John always came to work. It was like the old days of radio. He came in a blue cotton Oxford. Oh, I have a microphone here on the other side. And he had a tie and Brogan shoes, you know, the Brogans. I haven't worn those. And, of course, they're still up in my closet. They have worn out. John had the same pair for years. But anyway, and he would always have with pressed pants and always look like he could go right on television. But a wonderful man. But you were telling me before about some things you said. Say the Elvis story. What was the other request?
Well, the other thing, of course, everybody in Buffalo, Tom, and you may be saving this, but it's Wild Weekend. I mean,
I'm not saving it. It saves me.
And, I wrote about it in today's paper. But that song, I think that, again, that defined that time so well, that period when you heard that song.
And it was really a mistake almost. It was something that...
And you were saying you were in the Army when it broke, right?
Yes, the second time. Now, the first time it came out, it was in 1959, because that's when it was recorded, really. This was early days. You want me to tell the story?
Yeah, sure.
Where's my boss? Is my boss
gone? Is there a format going on here?
This is the format today.
John Hager said it's okay, Tom.
No, John did, and so did Joe, I guess. But quickly, in 59, it was out locally. It was out in Buffalo, Western New York, and then it... Because myself and the guy that co-wrote it, Phil Todaro, the late Phil Todaro, we put it out as a record on our label, Shan Todd. Does that sound familiar? Shannon and Todaro. And we put it out on our own label, and we couldn't afford to press it. I mean, it was starting to get airplay in a lot of places. Well, what happened was, I'm now in the Army. The Army wanted to draft me, and I went over to the National Guard, and they didn't want to take me, but the Army would. I had a bad leg. I have osteomyelitis, which... I shouldn't even get into all that, but this to tell you the story that I'm now not RA, not regular Army, but I'm National Guard, and they activate us, and they put us in Dix, New Jersey. And I'm down there sitting in charge of quarters, which doesn't mean diddly-bop. You're sitting at night, and you have to answer the phone and do whatever else. You're sitting up on the top of a barracks. And I'm sitting, and they have a little radio there. It's a little Arvin or Helicrafters, whatever. So I turn the thing on, and I'm listening to it, and I hear Wild Weekend. But I must tell you, before this, the reason it got to that point is because there was a guy in Syracuse, which had the WKBW signal go over the top of it. And he decided, he had grown up in Western New York. His name was Jimmy O'Brien. He takes the song, the instrumental, and he takes it and he starts singing over the top of it. Jimmy O'Brien Show, WOLF or NDR, whatever the stations were in Syracuse. You're from Syracuse, Chuck? Does that sound right? OLF, yeah, Wolf was one of the stations.
Did you know he had done that?
I didn't know anything about it. Oh. And Bernie Benek, who was with Swan Records, I used to call him my Dutch uncle. He would always come in, and he was always nervous, and he'd smoke a cigar, and he was a wonderful man. But he used to come in and say, tell me when I'm going to play Freddie Cannon. I said, well, I'll try to, but music director's got to put it on first. Well, he called me, and he found me through the post locator, which there's 40,000 men at that point at any time in New Jersey, in the Army, and in Fort Dix. And he had found me through the post locator, and he said, a captain came to me. I was doing KP duty, but it wasn't potatoes. I was out picking up dirt, whatever, picking up papers. And they used to do that with it when you were an E2 private. You were the salt of the earth. You might as well have been in the earth. But he said, there's a phone call for you. And I said, yes, sir, yes, sir. So I ran upstairs, grabbed the phone, and I said, hello? And he said, Tommy, it's Bernie Benek. I could see him chewing on the cigar. I mean, that's how I visualize. And he said, You got that record, Wild Weekend. And I said, well, yeah, it's in my basement. I mean, the tape was in my basement. It was old, I can't remember what it was, scotch.
Yeah.
Scotch.
Real
wasn't scotch. It was, real. I wasn't drinking scotch, but scotch brand tape. And it was molding in my basement. I mean, that's where I had placed it after 1959 or 60, the master tape. And he said, I want that record. I said, Bernie, I'm in the Army. I don't know how I'm going to get it to you. He said, well, can't you have somebody ship it? And I said, my father doesn't know that I even made a record. He doesn't know. my father may think I have a record. I said, but I don't, I don't think my dad knows about that. So I got on the phone that night. I had, $72 a month. And I paid for Brasso and cigarettes, which is what I smoked a lot of then. But anyway, and that's all I could have. The rest was chump change. And I thought, I got to make a phone call. I'm going to have to call Collect. And my father didn't understand what Collect was. I mean, he knew, but he didn't know. How come you're calling Collect? But my father had a Western New York accent, which we all do, I guess. I must have lost some of it. Tom, what's going on? Because the operator had took 10 minutes to get him, and I'm saying, Dad, And there's 12 guys behind me all waiting. I want to call Syracuse. I want to call wherever they were from. Well, I finally talked my dad into where it was, what he should do, and mail it to, so on and so forth. And he said he did. And I called him back another night, and he said, I took care of that. I said, well, thank you, Dad. He said, what are you doing that for? I said, well, the guy wants to put out a record. What are you doing that stuff? Why don't you, you know, I'll never like the show business because you're not going to amount to anything. Here I am 50 years later, and I guess I'm okay. You know, I'm going to retire. So he said, okay, I think we did that. So I'm sitting up in charge of quarters, and I'll go pick up the story again. So I'm up there one night. I forgot all about it, kind of. I mean, I'm worried about what am I going to do in the Army, but they had put me on medical hold. So I had nowhere to go, and I was listening to the radio sitting in charge of quarters at night, and I hear a station in Jersey or someplace. No, Baltimore. A Baltimore station came in, and I hear the guy say, hot prospect this week, the Rockin' Rebels and Wild Weekend. And I went, whoa. I fell off the chair I was on, and I thought, and I'm sitting in the Army. What am I going to do about this little puppy? And it was a hot prospect. Then the next time, I saw a guy named Ed Hurst, who still may be on the radio. He's probably in his late 70s. But Ed Hurst did a show called On the Boardwalk. It was the Boardwalk in Atlantic City, but it used to be all in that area. And he said, here's a big record on the way up from the Rockin' Rebels called Wild Weekend. And the kids would dance to it. It was like a bandstand there on the Boardwalk. George Hammond's, whatever that is, Boardwalk. And then I saw another. Then Dick Clark started to play it. And I thought, whoa. And finally they let me out. I was on medical hold for 4 months, excruciating pain, trying to get back to see if we made any money and to see a hit. But that's basically the story.
How'd you feel when it made top 10? I mean, that must have been.
Oh, it was wonderful. And I never say this very much about that part of it, but myself and at that point, Phil had moved. I lost track of him. He had moved to New York. He was managing theaters. That's really what Phil did very well. He was managing some theaters, and I lost track of him, and they invited us to New York at the Pierre Hotel for the BMI, if you make top 10. So I'm there with Phil Spector, with Carole King and Jerry Goffin, and I said, my gosh, I must have died and gone to heaven. Here I am in the middle of these guys, and I thought to myself, well, I know I ain't George or Ivor Gershwin or Jimmy Webb or anybody else or Carole King or anybody else. But, I mean, here are all these people. And I took tons of pictures and walked around and shook everybody's hand and just to be there. You know, I think that was the thrill. And then, you know, they presented us with a big, whatever that is, a monumental thing that I have in my staircase going upstairs. And it's been a thrill. It really has. And to hear it. And then years later, licensing it to friends, and then it's on two episodes of The Simpsons, which is what you wrote about. I told you, my daughter. Yeah, my daughter yells to me, hey, Dad, they're playing your song. I said, what do you mean, my song? And I ran in the other room, and it was The Simpsons. I don't know which Sunday Cruddy Sunday is one of the episodes. I know because when they pay you for royalty money, they list the episodes. The one where Chandler can't remember, that's on Friends. And they go through the licensing department of NBC, goes through Warner Brothers.
Did you have anything to do, Tom, with the Rebels playing at the local band, the Rebels?
You mean to play it originally? No, they came to me at a record hop, and then I put them in the studio and recorded. Yeah, so that, that's their arrangement. I mean, I had nothing to do with the actual song except balance the mic, do this, and we did everything in monaural. That record still is monaural. I should play it a little later on, maybe.
Yeah.
You think the boss would mind?
It's okay.
It's only 2 cents.
It's anything you want to do today, Tom. It's all
is
right.
Is that what he said? Well, anyway, that's the story of the Wild Weekend as it went. But it was a theme. It was a theme on radio first. Most people think that Jimmy and Mick Kipler and Tommy Gorman and Paul Balin, who were the original members, Tommy and Paul are both deceased. The Kiplers are still around. Many of them students of theirs. They teach and they play, and they're very, very good. One's a guitarist or bassist, and the other is a saxophone player. And they are very good. And over the years, it got sort of clouded. I know some of those articles in the news and some of those things all said, what a bad guy, he ran off. You know, there were two of us were partners. We had no idea sometimes what was even going on. It's only in the later years that I was really able to do something good.
I remember the John Fogerty song, Rock and Roll Girls, which is almost the same lick as the beginning of Wild Weekend.
And he even puts in the lyrics.
And he talks about Buffalo.
Sitting on the lake, shuffle off to Buffalo, sitting by the lake, playing on the radio or something. And I thought, that's almost too ironic to be... you know, to whatever that word is.
You should have sued him, Tom.
Well, can I tell you another story? No, I better not. No, this could go on forever. I was going to do a suit, and I called, and I said, you know, nothing else that Center Field, it was the album
it
came from.
It was his comeback.
And I said, you know, I like John Fogerty. I never met him, but I said, here's a good way to meet him. I mean, he's obviously doing a tribute, which is what he was doing. He and Cy Zantz or whatever owned Fantasy Records. They ended up suing each other, and Zantz can't dance and all that stuff. Well, I was going to do something. I called the publisher because I had sold the publishing when I was in the Army. I said, I need more money than Brasso. And $72 a month, can I? And I didn't sell it for a large amount, but I sold it with the fact that the publisher will be able to pay you royalties. So to make a long story, here I go again. This goes on forever. You know, I really shouldn't do that. This is supposed to be my last show. I'm supposed to be quiet. All right.
I won't ask any more questions.
All right. Well, that's it. So, the publisher said, we can't sue anybody because it costs too much. Okay. And I said, but it's a top 10 song. It continually gets played. It's on this and this. Well, and this was early on when Centerfield came out. And after the fact, when it got on to the bigger things, like we licensed it to those. It's in movies. It's in some other thing. When that started to happen, they started to say, ooh, wait a minute, this is a pretty big song, or it's a good song. Maybe we could do so. Well, by then, and Dick Clark had mentioned it, and so other people said, Tommy, isn't that your song? And I said, yeah, I think it is. But they didn't want to do it because they figured they had to hire a musicologist and prove that that was the very same song. Mm-hmm. Or that it had to take
like the George Harrison case.
Well, and it followed that, because My Sweet Lord, and He's So Fine, exactly. Well, see, I can tell Tony writes for that, and he knows what he's talking about. Hey, he knows all the dirt and the inside stories. We're going to have you tell stories. I got to get on and pay some bills here, so let's see here. What'll I push here? If I push the wrong button, we can all be in limbo or something. We'll all be someplace. Here we go.
Your guy Doug Young here, and good luck, Tommy. After 50 years in the biz, you deserve to smell the roses. Listening to you all these years has been a total joy, and getting to know you in person has been even better.
Just minutes away from more of Buffalo's greatest hits, next on 104.1 WHTT.
Folks in Ontario just love to travel. Ask Peter, who's from
Picton.
Peter, what's your dream vacation?
Oh, Pembroke.
Pembroke?
Yeah.
Help me out here, Bert.
Hey, Pete, you can win your picture-perfect holiday at Ontario Charity Casinos and Slots at Racetracks from March 21st to April 9th. Pick from 7 perfect packages.
So, Peter, where do you want to go now?
I'm thinking Paris. Paris, France.
Perfect.
No purchase necessary. Must be at least 19. The name of the game is fun. Slots at Fort Erie Racetrack. Get a free ballot in your local paper.
Are you looking for a part-time job? Become a school bus driver with Laidlaw Education Services. Laidlaw is the largest provider of student transportation in the country and the leader in safety. They're looking for drivers right now.
You don't have to know how to drive a bus. They'll teach you with their free professional training. Experienced drivers are also welcome. Laidlaw has positions open for Class C and B licensed drivers. They offer competitive wages starting at $10.25 per hour at select locations, guaranteed hours, and a friendly work environment. Visit their training center at 2306 Walden Avenue in Cheektowaga for more information, or just stop in and have a cup of coffee.
They're hiring today. Just call 685-9864 to start your new career with Laidlaw. With locations in Buffalo, East Aurora, North Tonawanda, and the surrounding neighborhoods. To qualify, you must be at least 21 years of age, possess a clean driving record, and be able to pass a criminal background check and drug test. Call 685-9864 today. Laidlaw Education Services is an equal opportunity employer.
Laidlaw, caring people serving the Western New York community.
Are you looking for a used car, truck, or minivan? Are you sick at the thought of having to go to one of those small used car lots, or deal with obnoxious dealerships that shout in your face and flash phone numbers to get your attention? I can appreciate what you're going through. Hi folks, Joe Caldarelli from Mike Barney Nissan. When you're the largest volume Nissan dealer in upstate New York, a lot of people forget about the awesome used car deals and exemplary service given to our used car customers. We sell every make and model, import and domestic, and for every budget. Our prices are always at or below NADA book value, and we offer the same great service for our used car customers that has earned us one of the highest customer satisfaction scores in the nation. If that wasn't enough, we sell every used car, truck, and minivan with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Stop in for full details at the corner of Sheridan and Millersport. After you've seen our used vehicles, we know you'll agree that the highest quality, the best prices, and a 30-day money-back guarantee are only available at
Mike Barney Nissan.
Awesome vehicles, great dealership, lousy jingle.
This is Ross Solino.
And Steve Barnes.
If you've been the victim of an accident, this may be a difficult time. You have many important decisions to make.
It does matter which law firm you choose. It can make all the difference in your case. Choose the firm you know, the firm you trust. Trust experience, success. It makes a difference. Call Salino and Barnes today. Court Street, Buffalo.
Salino and Barnes, the injury attorneys. Call 854-2020.
Many attorneys claim to be the best, but don't choose a firm just because it advertises.
Over the last 2 years, we believe Salino and Barnes has settled more cases for more money than any firm in Western New York. Put the power of one of the nation's most successful injury firms to work for you.
Trust, experience, success. It makes a difference. Call Salino and Barnes today, Court Street, Buffalo.
Salino and Barnes, the injury attorneys. Call 854-2020.
Premiering Saturday on Hallmark Channel.
The lunatic has bought a log cabin.
That doesn't really sound that crazy for Grandpa.
Matt Fleming went in search of his grandfather.
Is this great?
Are we finished bonding yet?
What he found was himself.
Maybe for the first time, you feel alive.
A Hallmark Channel original movie.
It's taken me 20 years to become a part of your life. I'm staying right here.
Edward Asner, Mel Harris, and Jason London star in Out of the Woods. Premieres Saturday at 8, 7 Central on Hallmark Channel.
Western New York weather.
Okay, do I have the right microphone? I'm never sure. Oh, you know, I always need help. Anyway, take a look tonight. Shower should end, then partial clearing. Our overnight low about 40 degrees. Doesn't sound bad. Tomorrow may be the best of all the next couple of days. Clouds and sunshine and a high of 50 on Saturday. Occasional rain. It'll be windy, high between 40 and 45 degrees. And on Sunday, mostly cloudy with a shower possible, and the wind continues. The wind continues. About 45 degrees for the high expected Sunday. Cloudy and 52 right now. And talk about winds. Gusty out there, up to 24 miles per hour. Ooh, that is windy. At the station playing Buffalo's greatest hits.
104.1 WKCT.
I'm stuck in the middle with you and those. That is Steelers Wheels. I'm going to turn this. Now that's my mic. Okay, I'm want to do the wrong thing each and every time out. I'm on the phone with Big Tom Donahue. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Tommy. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. You have been a wonderful man over all these years. You have. Wait a minute. You're calling me. But I got to tell everybody that you have just been a terrific guy to me, and you and Barb and all. I think you're just terrific. And anyway.
Well, you know, we're all friends. A lot of people may not realize, but, you know, a lot of us in this business are all friends, even though we may be, in a sense, in a competitive field, but we all still remain friends, and that's a great thing about it.
Absolutely. I can meet with you and sit down and have dinner and whatever, and we're just happen to be on opposite sort of ends of the dial.
Sure.
Wait a minute. Not only is it opposite ends of the dial, it's AM and FM, right?
Opposite ends of the spectrum, too. I mean, yeah.
Anyway, my best to Joey, who I just saw last week, and mm-hmm. Danny, and yourself, and all. And I really, really appreciate the call.
Sure.
I know why you're calling, obviously, because it's apparently my last day.
Yeah. Well, listen. Best wishes. God bless you, and I hope everything I hope everything is great for you for the next years.
I think either you owe me or I owe you a dinner. I know that. We've talked about that.
Absolutely.
We'll do that. So I have a lot of time on my hands now.
I know your number.
I got your number, too.
Yeah.
Tommy, thank you very much.
No problem.
All righty.
Take care.
Yeah, bye-bye. Nice man. Tom Donahue. Big Tom Donahue worked for us for a number of years. The original Saturday Night Oldie Show, worked in WGR, now at WWKB. Those are sort of familiar. I'm sorry.
He teaches at Buff State, Tom.
Oh, he's at Buff State. Well, yes, he is. And that's my alma mater. I told him I was there back when there was it was the normal school. I think they had. It was. Well, you know, I sit on the media council,
right,
along with Kevin O'Connell and Miles Hairston and guys.
Of the Hall of Fame.
Well, yes, I am. But I didn't want to say that. But anyway, they had to burn the school down to get me out back in the back in whatever that was, the 50s. And here we are today. Now I'm in their Hall of Fame, and I sit in the media council, and I sit with Muriel Howard, who's the president, and we sit outside of her office and have lunch and talk. And I said, my gosh, if they could have seen me back in the 50s when they burned the school down to get me out. Anyway, Buff State has come a long way. It is just a wonderful institution. And back in those days, I think the overall population was something like 2,000 people, 2,000 students. I'm guessing at that. I mean, it wasn't a lot. I try to look at everything that was on the campus. I mean, everybody. I mean,
it must have been a busy time, Tom, because when you were at Bishop Ryan, you're working on radio.
Radio,
and
I did,
State, you're on the radio.
Did that on the, yeah, and I had a couple of, I was a member of fraternity, Sig Tau, and I did some other things, but it was tough to do that because I used to finish up. At one point, they had me working all night, and back in those days, they had Quonset huts. So those that remember the Army days, or at least Peck, when they had those metal rounded, kind of half-rounded frames. And I would finish doing the morning, the all-night show, and I would go to the cafeteria, which was then open, have coffee and eggs or something. And at that point, I'm ready to take a nap, and my first course would be Philosophy 101. And then you'd sit, and they put in these portable heaters that work arguably better than anything else in the country. I mean, you know, you could have, I don't know how many British thermal units it pumped out, but all I know is it was snowing outside, as was the case in Buffalo. Lots of snow, lots of cold. Philosophy 101. I had worked all night, and I would go, good morning, everybody. And I'd be leaning against the window. So there are some wonderful people who helped me get through that. So I got some notes if you want to. Oh, okay. But I did get through it all. And yes, I Buffalo State, and Tom is a teacher over there, a wonderful teacher. And anyway, all right, where are we? We have more stories? No, we don't have enough time for stories. How about Jay and the Americans? Yes, they're going to be on that cruise in October. You can check it out on our website, WHTT.com. Jay and the Americans, Spinners, Grassroots, and Felix Cavalieri and the Rascals. And me, we're going to be cruising. Come on aboard. Check it out.
This magic moment.
Tommy, this is Ross. I'm going to miss you so much, my man. But I just have one question for you. Can I have your little black book? Oh, wait a minute. I'm married.
That's Ross DeFranco, by the way. His sister is Ani DeFranco, as so you know. And Ross is a wonderful guy. Runs our couple of our stations, the Wild and the Edge. And he's married, and he wanted the black book, but he was only kidding, of course. And there's another one that has somewhat the same. Oh no, there's another line on here. I don't know what these are. There's like Russian roulette. They put these in, and I have. Let me try this.
Tommy, it's Al Mareika. Congratulations on your retirement. For being a broadcast legend, you are the most down-to-earth celebrity I've ever known. Best wishes.
Al said he knew one person in the whole world that is, I don't know if you heard that, but anyway, Al is our chief engineer. Thank you, Albert. Alphonse. He corrects me every time. I always say Alberto. He said, no, it's Alphonse. Well, that'll about do it. I think I'm worn out, and I'm just overwhelmed and thrilled, and it's been a heck of a ride here for the last 3 weeks, much less the last 50 years. I don't know if I got anything else to say except to say thank you to the listeners. We've been talking about people in the business and Tony and everybody that called in. But, you know, for the people who have been listeners and you're the ones that don't get the 20 minutes of fame or 10 minutes or whatever it is, you have been terrific, very supportive. I understand that. I really got to see it, not only in record hops over the years and any appearances, but even out at some of our Anderson Ice Cream socials, some of the people that came up and would say things, and they remembered, and you remembered, and that's what is, I guess, most important of all. So if I don't go out and become a millionaire, I got to win the lottery to do that. I've got enough, I think, that I'm going to be comfortable. I'm going to keep my fingers in the woodwork a little bit here because I'm going to be doing behind the music. I'm going to keep doing those features. Harv Moore will be here tomorrow doing the afternoon program, and we welcome Harv, and as you know, he's one of the family, and Jim Pastrick also, and Jimmy will be doing Harv's portion, so we kept it all in the family, and everybody is well content and happy, and we probably have to hire some more people in the background, given all the things that go on, and I will try to keep an active role. I will indeed keep that for at least a year, and maybe more than that, and my bosses, and to my, all the people who surround Chuck and Mary, and what's your name again? Yeah, from Craig Medel, who's over at Paragon Advertising, and some of the wonderful people that I've encountered since my return to my hometown of Buffalo. It has been just absolutely stupendous. I will always, and that's why I came back. I wanted to do just this, wrap it up in my hometown to Tony Violante, who has always been, made me a hero, Tony. I mean, my kids think I'm some star now, because up until then I was, who's that guy sitting there? You know, but they think, hey, he's in the paper again. What? Anyway, thank you to you all. I think it's only probably fitting and proper that I end up with this song. Somebody suggested it. Maybe many. Tony, you suggested this earlier. That's right. That was yesterday. I think you said, what are you going to do? And I said, I don't know. And I really didn't. And I thought it was going to be a regular show. We have some commercials and things, but I think I'm going to go out with this. There will be a couple more as we get underway and put it on Shuffle, 104 on Shuffle, and Joe Saragusa will take you right straight through, as he always does, right till midnight tonight. All right, so we'll wrap it up with this one, and I'll say it as I always have. Take good care of yourself. Drive carefully. Make sure it's your own car. And remember, above and beyond all else, later.